title. Season 6, A Pesky Peaky Compromise? Author, Yuvraj Nathani. It means you fuck people. F-U-C-K people over. Don't give a fuck. It means you covet and steal and burn all principles for the sake of self-interest. Well, I'm changing, says Thomas Shelby, calmly when asked what he knows of moral turpitude. He smirks and remarks that it'd make a great name for a racehorse. And that's the Tommy we know, unaffected, incessant, and lethally ambitious. In his own words, an extreme example of what a working man can achieve. But at what cost? One wonders. Stephen Knight's gang of backstreet bookies has, for a while now, been lounging in country estates, riding Bentleys and shaping the political trajectory of Britain. Every other season, one of them is sacrificed, only to allow for a bombastic display of blood-soaked vengeance in the next one. A formula that has proved entertaining so far, but how much longer will it hold us? This season's flurry of 6 surgically salvaged episodes feature Tommy Shelby, MP, OB, still excellently portrayed by Cillian Murphy, dodging and digging some of his demons in a final quest for freedom. Despite a sentimental and earnest homage, the writing betrays hints of struggle as Helen McCrory's Aunt Polly untimely passing leaves a palpable hole in the narrative. Elsewhere, a sporadic American antagonist in Jack Nelson James Fresheville is unsatisfying at best. Thomas Shelby's son, from a sexual encounter decades ago, shoddily appears out of nowhere, and Lady Diana Mitford Amber Anderson, wife of the problematic Sir Oswald Mosley Sam Claflin, blackmailing Tommy into intercourse and Tommy obliges is one of the more bizarre scenes we behold. Quite a few of the perennial peaky suspects are still alive and kicking. An arrogant but incompetent Michael Finn Cole is eager to usurp power. Arthur Paul Anderson is now a perfunctory opium addict, Tommy's baby sister, and arguably one of the best female character arcs in recent television. Ada Thorne's Sophie Rundle holds her own, whereas Lizzie the vibrant Natasha O'Keefe drudges impeccably through the job of being the only Shelby wife still voluntarily living with her better half. Crazy Alfie Solomon's Tom Hardy shows up out of the blue as per protocol, back in the opium trafficking business with the East Boston Jews. He's not changed one bit. Tommy, if you are about to express profound emotion, you might be better served expressing it to someone who gives a fuck, he says hilariously, to the ragged Shelby patriarch. Some cracks appear amidst the frenzy, as the writing brings forth the many paradoxes the show thrives and drowns in. The peaky path to alleged peace has been incorrigibly violent. It's always one more terrible deed, one more ounce of conscience sacrificed for business and profit, one more betrayal in the hope for retribution from a life of bitter criminality. One can't help but wonder whether the narrative condemns or romanticizes the bloodshed that's pervaded all seasons of the show. Knight seems to like it. His film Serenity is one to watch. But we do know that he does have a softer side as a writer, Eastern Promises, and if generously viewed, perhaps Knight paints greed and revenge as what they really are, offering no escape, no respite, and no closure. At some level, one empathizes with these Shelby men, scarred by war and learning to be whole again, but ailing with nightmares, addiction, betrayal, guilt, the list goes on. The message, I guess, is not that there's no redemption in the world. It's probably just not with, or for the Birmingham gang, anytime soon. But the rise of fascism has paved way for the Shelbys to be reborn as anti-heroes in a world suspended between World War I and the next that is to come. There's some good and plenty of bad, and there are absolutely no lines that separate one from the other. The Blinders aren't the nicest guys in town, but neither are those ratified by society, the judges, the politicians, the police, the communists, the fascists. They're all despicable, or at least their methods are. Dark, raw, and almost humorously gory, the titular gang are now painted as the lesser of two evils, in a fight against genocide. While there's never a dearth of testosterone and machismo being sloshed around, it's usually the strong female figures that have kept the extended plots palatable, and the savage men remotely human. There's been progress, though. Tommy has sworn off some of his bad habits and expanded his drug business to Canada. Now teetotaler cum cold-blooded strategist, he seems to be back in control, but his declarations of invincibility doesn't seem to sit so well. The whole only person who could ever kill Tommy Shelby is Tommy Shelby himself, and, I have no limitations. Departs from his hitherto stoic, do what needs to be done and shut up about it persona. What makes it all so ironic is that Tommy barely survived the devilish priest's ploy from a couple of seasons ago, and is only alive because of a thwarted suicide attempt in season 5's chilling finale. Besides, he's just lost his daughter to what he believes is a gypsy curse. Jeez. All said and done, the excess this show throws at you feels something like a young Hendrix toying with an electric guitar. It may be raw and overwhelming, but is still brilliantly good. The mistakes are forgotten and the experience is what is remembered. Visually and sonically, the show remains an absolute delight. The clever use of color to capture the characteristic haze of coal-stacked, dreary Birmingham, the diverse and atmospheric soundtracks, the impeccable costumes and properties make sure the show excels in its little details. The gruff, low voice in which Murphy purrs that isn't his natural tone, mind you, chillingly beckons us back for more of his antics every time. The concoction, over the years, of brilliant acting performances from a star-studded cast, unforgettable dialogues and fantastic screenplay that the show has offered, does render my pen mild in admiration. But the disappointment lies, I suppose, in all the half-baked adjustments to the story with Aunt Polly gone, and only a partially resolved closing. One wasn't sure whether to expect more, or to be content with Tommy riding away on a white horse with his false tumor now gone. We then find that this isn't the real finale. Knight will have another chance to tie up loose ends and finish with a flourish in the final film. In the sixth and final episode, we see Tommy spare the life of someone that he would most definitely have killed a few episodes ago. Armistice. Peace at last, he says. My hope is that Knight listens to his protagonist, and does not reduce Small Heath to a burial ground again. I reckon the blinders could use a week of rest, sunshine and reflection.